You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Same dream. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday evening, January 2nd, 2016. We're going to give you good news this hour after we give you, we're going to compare America to Europe. Now, things are changing for the better here in America, but we're not nearly to where some of the European nations are. We got this magazine brought into the studio tonight. We're not going to tell you which city it services, what area it services, but it's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite magazine, and you just flip through it, and one of the articles shows this fat, obese lesbian. She has about as much hair as I do, and just talks about how she's so brave and so heroic for being a lesbian and being fat. And
fighting the good fight is the name of the article.
And this thing is full of major, major commercial sponsors.
And you know what, James? We looked at those. Let's first of all go into this. Okay.
Go into it quickly because we didn't plan on covering
it. The way these things go is this. This is what happens.
Okay? Hey, get on your mic.
Here's what happens. These people are always patting one another on the back, telling them how wonderful they are, how somebody who is supporting the sodomite agenda, the homosexual agenda, is fighting the good fight and is just doing a wonderful job. On the other hand, anyone that opposes it is a racist, redneck creep, okay, with an IQ of under 70 probably, and no intelligent person would have anything to do with anyone that might be even mildly opposed to any of the proposals that are made in this magazine. Now, this is a pretty nice-looking magazine. It's, professionally done.
Lots of sponsors. And every page
sponsors.
Has somebody sponsoring it, pouring money into
but
it.
See, I
has a readership of 25.
I know a lot of these sponsors. I know a lot of these companies and restaurants. And there seems to be a common thread that runs through them, and that's that they're owned by the Sons of Israel. Even the barbecue restaurant that, they're prohibited by their dietary laws from eating pork. But the pork barbecue restaurant that has a prominently displayed ad in this magazine is the one in town that is, well, one of two in town that is owned by a Jewish family.
All right, but the point is, you've got this magazine that has a readership of probably about 50 or 75, and it's getting huge money poured into it because it advances the agenda. So the thing here is, it doesn't matter. They're going to get money.
They get money. Okay. We can't get nickels. They get thousands of dollars to print up this magazine, and somebody is making a living, living comfortably, editing this magazine and putting it together, a thing that probably has a readership of 200, that'd be generous.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, the American media is still just eaten up with the sodomite agenda. They're advancing it. But here's the point.
It's because the people that really control the money want it because it's going to do worse.
Well, I didn't even want to.
What are they going to tell you about
it?
James, let me just tell you this. Why is the left so interested in the homosexual agenda? They know that homosexuals don't reproduce. They're falling in line with Herbert Marcuse's famous pamphlet in the 50s called Polymorphous Perversity, in which he said that heterosexual marriage is a trap devised by men to enslave women,
right,
and that women should abandon any sexual lives of polymorphous perversity. Polymorphous perversity is any form of sexual expression that cannot lead to actual pregnancy, okay?
Right, the culture of death, of course.
And
that's part
of it. See, what it results in, the more people they can talk into that, the lower the birth rate will be.
That's right. That's a big part of it, and it's anti-Christian and all the rest. But here's the good news. We said there was going to be good news. We spent way too much time on that. But the good news is not all of the countries of the West are going along with that. Actually, Central and Eastern Europe are far ahead of even the West, to say the least. The sodomites have been stymied in Slovenia. Listen to what's going on in little Slovenia. And what can possibly go down in history as the most catastrophic year in terms of political destabilization of a society's most fundamental institution, marriage and the family. There has appeared a light at the very end of a dark tunnel after all. On Sunday, the nation of Slovenia, this was last Sunday, repealed sodomite marriage, quote-unquote, in a landslide victory, 63-36%. The no side was actually backed by the Roman Catholic Church, as well as a conservative coalition known as Children Are at Stake. And they received significantly more votes than that which was needed to put it on the Constitution and make it constitutionally binding in Slovenia. This follows not only the legalization of this abomination in March, just in March of this year, Keith, Slovenia made sodomite marriage legal, but also the attempts by the government to ban a referendum on the issue. So basically, it went into law in March. It was repealed last Sunday. And listen to this quote. This is the best part of it. At that time, the leftist lawmaker in Slovenia, Metaj Vadovec, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, famously announced, "Today Slovenia is entering the 21st century." Well, the writer of this article puts forth that Slovenia has now somehow managed to both enter and then exit again the 21st century, all in the course of 1 year. So in March it goes in as law. It's repealed by huge support of the people of Slovenia by constitutional referendum last Sunday, and apparently they don't have courts over there that can overrule the will of the people, and this looks to be something that's going to stick.
Well, you know, it's remarkable that this comes out, James, right now, because I just read an article yesterday where Unicoi County in eastern Tennessee, their legislative body has said, we don't care what the U.S. Supreme Court says. Homosexual marriage is against the law in Unicoi County, and there are several other East Tennessee counties that are following suit with this. So right-thinking people throughout the world recoil at this usurpation, this tyrannical dictate by the left, you know, the 3% telling the other 97% what to do, and 3% is probably an exaggeration of the amount of support there is for homosexual marriage throughout the world.
The most encouraging thing about this referendum result in Slovenia is that in the midst of this very aggressive cultural Marxist onslaught, the Jewish media, Slovenia made history on Sunday by becoming the first country in history to successfully overturn the legalization of sodomite marriage. It wasn't as though they were putting forth a stumbling block or a hurdle like a lot of the states in the United States try to do. This was a place where it was legal, and now it is legal no more. That is unprecedented, and we pray that this will be a sign of things to come.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to say that they're part of the European Union, and that the European Union is going to overrule and stymie their effort to...
A lot of these nations...
Just like the federal government does here in America.
...about leaving the EU, and that is, in fact, some of the predictions people have made. You will see the first nations begin to leave the EU in Europe this year. We pray that the people of Slovenia remain on God's side. This was a great triumph, unprecedented, historic, in a good way. And there's even more good news coming out of the Czech Republic. We'll get to that right after the break.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Searching, searching, every night and day. If we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, Keith, I'm going to read something in its entirety here that appeared on Occidental Descent. That's the website, one of our daily reads administered by Hunter Wallace. This particular piece was written by Jack Ron. I'm going to read it all, then I'm going to turn it over to you, but I'm going to read it all because you have to read it all to get it all. That's right. But here's Jack Ryan's commentary. He writes that outside of Donald Trump, American national politics look uninspiring, but the international situation is different, and things are happening now. Many Central and Eastern European leaders have a strong principle, nationalist, populist leaders saying and doing things that were previously just a dream. The EU has become anti-European, anti-Christian, multicultural, a monster, and Central and Eastern European peoples have noticed it. 1 million-plus Muslim migrant men have invaded Europe this year. Central and Eastern Europeans have noticed this, too, and are speaking out and taking action. So here is the Christmas address by President of the Czech Republic, Milo Zeman. And listen to this. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read the highlights. And this is what he said. Imagine an American head of state. Now, we know there's great things happening in Slovenia. Great things happening in Slovenia. We just covered that in the last segment. We know of all the great things going on with Hungary and Viktor Orban and his stand on immigration and closing the borders and protecting Hungarian identity. Well, now here the Czech Republic joins Slovenia and Hungary as nations that the United States would do well to be more like. Listen to the Christmas message from the President of the Czech Republic. Here's what he said. In foreign relations, there is a dark stain. That is the migrant wave. These politicians who close their eyes to the fact that this migration wave has still not spilled over, that there is nothing to fear, are just a bit reminiscent of one mayor of Prague. This mayor, at the time of floods, stood on a bridge and said, "The situation is safe." And 2 hours later, the flood had washed away the bridge. Sometimes I feel like Cassandra, the president of the Czech Republic says, who gave a warning before the Trojan horse was dragged into the city. But I am deeply convinced that we are facing an organized invasion and not the spontaneous movement of refugees. Listen to this, guys. Those who are standing up for migrants speak of empathy and solidarity. Empathy, if possible, with the old, the infirm, and primarily women and children. But The vast majority of illegal migrants are young and able-bodied men without families. And I ask, why did these men not take up arms and fight for the freedom of their own country? Their escape objectively strengthens the Islamic State, and I cannot imagine that in time, when the occupation of our men were escaping, that they would escape so that they could, in Great Britain, receive social support. They had escaped so that they could fight for the freedom of their country. And that, of course, is true even for those who leave the countries where there is fighting, because their departure sentences these countries to further backwardness. And he's almost done here. During preparations for the demonstration in support of the refugees at the anniversary of the 17th of November, someone had informed the news services that on a banner at this demonstration, the following sign would be displayed: "This country is not ours. Refugees welcome." Somebody had advised these organizers that this sign is exceptionally stupid, and so they replaced it with a somewhat less stupid sign reading, "This land belongs to all. Refugees welcome." And to close my Christmas message, I would like to tell you two clear sentences. This country is ours, and this country is not for and cannot be for all. My dear friends, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. That's the president of the Czech Republic. Great things happening there in Hungary, in Slovenia, and in other Central and European, Eastern European nations, Keith. There is a rise of nationalism there. And we may have some tremors here happening with Trump, but I think 2016 will be the year of nationalism.
We're just lucky that we are so naturally protected by things like the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean to keep out foreigners, or else we'd be totally inundated. See, this is that president is absolutely right. This is not a coincidence. This is an orchestrated effort. The left is getting the nearest group geographically to invade every white nation. For Europe, it's Muslims from Africa, the Levant, and the Mideast. For America, it is, for the United States of America and Canada, it is Hispanic people. But they're going to flood us with third worlders, and as we say so often on this show, it's one of our patented comments, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. They know it. And they intend to swamp us with third worlders so that we'll have a third world nation and will no longer have the inherent advantage that white nations have. Why are these people coming to white nations and white nations only? Well, first, other first world nations like Japan, Korea, even China, try sneaking into their country and you'll be made short work of. They're not going. They don't have this crippling white guilt that the liberals have managed to infect Europe and America with. The second thing that they're not doing is they are, the other thing that they're not doing is they know that white nations have the best deal. Basically, we've got social welfare, we've got, laws that aren't enforced. You've got all sorts of organizations like churches and charities that are there to help them. And we even give them seminars on how to exploit our welfare system once they get here. So they come here, and they may come with the best of motives to try to, improve their life and work. But as soon as they get here, they are traduced and seduced into becoming objects of governmental welfare. They're going to exploit all of that, which they do. I live near the ghetto, or near the inner city, however you want to say it, and every time I go in there, I see all sorts of people of color, and every one of them has an EBT card. I've learned, to my dismay recently, that 73% of the minority population in America, that's anyone except a white Gentile, or that they 73% of them have some form of welfare, and the form of welfare they have that's most prevalent is food welfare, EBT cards. That's what, took the place of the old food stamps. But this is what is happening. They pick out, it's Bob Whitaker's mantra: Japan for the Japanese, China for the Chinese, Algeria for the Algerians, Peru for the Peruvians, whatever. America and any white nation for everybody. this is, you know, we're going to have to stop tolerating this massive hypocrisy on the part of the left. If people, if these Syrian refugees are really worthy of refugee status, well, charity begins at home, Jewish majority, Jewish power and influence. We'll take just as many refugees here in America or in Slovenia or wherever as the state of Israel takes from their next-door neighbor, Syria. And that would put a stop to it all of a sudden. That the silence would be deafening if that proposal were actually made in Congress.
Yeah, right, you were talking about China and some of these other countries. That goes back again to Israel. Israel, yeah, try sneaking in there. You know, they sterilize. They sterilized Ethiopians, you know, black Ethiopians.
And anybody is subject to summary arrest, no due process, and being expelled from the country unless you're Jewish. And that's just a fact of the matter. And if, for example, we propose a due process of protection for people, but we would try to expel people that are here illegally, and you would think that we had, you know, fired up the gas chambers and were about to reinstitute concentration camps.
All right. Well, when we come back, shifting gears yet again, we have really been covering a lot of ground tonight in very short order. We're going to let Eddie Bombardier slide on into the other seat, and Matt the Copperhead may or may not be calling in. If he is, we'll put him on, and then there he is on the line. So we'll go to the Copperhead next. Stay tuned, everybody. Much more to come tonight. We're only halfway done with the first show of 2016.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are calling all Christians to join the solemn cause to make America great again. Donald Trump has been called of God to lead our people away from the destructive course we have traveled for the last 50 years. It is important for all Christians to recognize God's hand in the future course of this nation and the vessels that he uses to accomplish his purposes. Galatians tells us that one who is taught the word must share it with the one who teaches. We must share the word with Donald Trump. We must influence Donald Trump. Please contribute to the Trump Super PAC. Let your influence be felt. Please call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586. Or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Eddie the Vomiter Miller is now in for the last half of the show. Great work tonight. Great shift by Keith Alexander. And before we get to Eddie, we're going to go first to Matt the Copperhead, who has called in. Matt, what can we do for you tonight?
James, Eddie, Happy New Year. Happy Hot Monet. I hope everything was good for you and yours in 2016, guys.
Happy New Year to you too, brother. My younger brother, Happy New Year to you. God, I love you so much. I hope you're doing well over there in Missouri.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Slovenia really took it upon themselves to do some greatness, and I think you can't mention that without mentioning the striking reality that, you know, there's something missing in Slovenia, and it happens to be Jews. You know, there's only about 200 to 400 Jews in Slovenia. You know?
Well, I mean, that probably certainly plays a role in the fact that they were able to push this through. As Keith said, there will be some blowback from the European Union and some of the courts that claim sovereignty over these independent nation states, but we'll just see how it plays out. That's all we can do. But so far, right now, the news is very good. We hope that other European nations will follow suit. And of course, you know, that was the one thing, interestingly, even though they suffered so much under the Cold War when they were set apart and under the Soviet Empire, they were not rotted to the core. It made them hard. It made them willing to fight, and they were not rotted by Western media. And so now, you know, all of the hope that our people have, well, not all of it, obviously, we're here and the Trump's doing good things, but, you know, most of the great things that are happening in the eastern part of Europe, which is, I think, very interesting.
I'd like to make ask Matt a question. Matt is the most well-traveled member of the cesspool. He's traveled all over the country. His dad was prior military. I believe your dad was Air Force. Is that right, Matt?
That's correct.
Okay, now, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to, I guess, maybe ask you a question, maybe, or maybe as a comment. I know you've been to that part of the world. You told me about it, and you've been to all those nations, and you've traveled extensively there. You have an education that, that money can't buy, especially in that part of the country. Do you think, you know, I'm thinking if the EU can't reel them back in and make them see the light, I'm thinking, you know, a bomb from the United States is what I'm thinking. I mean, that may be a more radical move, but I wouldn't put it past. What do you think?
Maybe if it was Serbia and Montenegro and the former Yugoslavia, and because all these countries are the former Yugoslavia, and it's what is striking about these countries is even under Josip Broz Tito, who himself was an interesting character. You know, he was the communist socialist leader of Yugoslavia, himself being a Croat who was born in Slovenia. They would have never allowed, I know this for a fact, in the 70s and 80s, you know, sodomite propaganda to be distributed. That was a criminal offense, you know. And, you know, pornography, yes, that was like all communist regimes, pornography was widely available, opium of the masses type thing. But it's, you know, what's striking about these old regimes, sodomite homosexual agendas would never be tolerated. And it's just how far, you know, the left, even heroes of the left, like, you know, Che Guevara and, you know, of course, Tito's a big hero of the left, how they themselves would have been treated to some severe discipline back in Tito's day.
You know, I'd like to, Matt, I'd like to call the audience's attention one more time to the fact that Matt the Copperhead has, he has book knowledge, of course, But this is a man who's talking from experience because his dad being military, an Air Force officer, he has lived in these countries. He's traveled extensively. He knows what he's talking about. He's telling you not only from an intellectual book, from firsthand.
I was there in the 80s, certainly as a kid, but, and hearing stories of family members. I have family members today in Croatia that would, that were definitely, some of them stayed and were part of the system. A lot of them were of the Croatian diaspora that went to Germany. These countries, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Serbia, Montenegro, and even Macedonia will never tolerate a sodomite agenda.
I got another question. Cut you off. I'm going to ask you another question. Now, these countries that you just mentioned, now, to your knowledge, you may not know this, how much affinity, how close are they to Putin's Russia right now? And the reason I ask that is because Putin in Russia is probably like 1950 America as far as morals. They have a much higher moral ground than the United States. So what's the...
In these northern, southern Slavic nations, for lack of a better word, the countries of Slovenia and Croatia, I have many debates with, friends and family over there about Putin. And this is where the globalists and the Zionists have been very effective in their polarization of the Western Catholic Slavs versus Eastern Orthodox Slavs. And this is what's playing out right now in the Ukraine, especially with the conflict that's going on there, how the Zionists, masters have brought in to do their dirty work, Nazi sympathizers all throughout Europe to fight against Putin's Russia. No one's talking about that, but it's the end will always justify the means to the Zio globalists.
I was hoping, Matt, that it seems like some of these countries that we've talked about tonight, Slovenia, for one, seem like they're a much higher moral character than we are right here in the United States. I say we by the central government.
Of course, that says very little.
Yeah,
but they are. Yeah. By any standard of measurement, they are.
If we could have an alliance between these smaller Eastern European countries back with Russia, they would have a lot of might. They could have a tremendous amount of influence. They would be a defense, a country, to be reckoned with, a force to be reckoned with.
Perhaps the dream, and we have to reach out to our Orthodox brothers and sisters. It's striking. Even if you look at the Ustasha regime in Croatia, the independent state of Croatia back in the 40s. A lot of their wives were Jewesses. No one ever talks about this. And, today, Ashkenazim of Slovenia and Croatia would like to say, well, our numbers are so low here and we're building because, we were sent down to the independent state of Croatia, to Jasenovac, death camp. Well, they really are trying to fudge the numbers there because the vast majority of people who died in Jasenovac prisoner, the death camp run by the Ustasha, were Serbians, Christians, and ethnic Croats who were fighting against the system of the Ustasha regime. There wasn't a synagogue in Ljubljana, the capital of Slovenia, till 2003. That's it.
No kidding. That's amazing. You know what, man? And I hope the audience is picking up on what you're saying because, see, you've already said some things that I didn't know, which is that, that's not saying a whole lot. But you have an extensive knowledge of what's going on over there in the history. You certainly do. Well, also, Matt, while we're talking about that, what do you know about the Holodomor in the Ukraine in the late 20s and 30s?
Well, like I always
there you go.
Say, when anyone says, oh, well, you're a racist, I just try to use that nuclear weapon against you, shut you off. Excuse me, that's a very vile word. That word was designed for one reason, to shut down resistance to Ashkenazi Jewish supremacism in the Soviet Bolshevik state. That word legitimized the killing of over 60 million ethnic Russian and Ukrainians that were Christian. That's a very vile word. Don't say that to me, because I'll put everyone in their place of how that word came about. The Trotskyites, the Bogodas. These were all, you look at the history of communism. You know, there's even rumors that Joseph Broz Tito, they say, well, he was a Croat and everything, but he could have been Ashkenazi also. You know?
Yo, Matt, I'm going to make one more quick comment. I think we got to move on.
Okay, brother.
But listen, I'm going to make another comment. I'm going to get you to make a comment. Now, and the, most of the people don't know this, we always hear we're totally inundated every year with the Holocaust industry. But yes, precious little is said about the millions and millions and millions of Christians butchered by the Jewish guards in the concentration camps in Eastern Europe and Russia. Am I right or not, man?
And let us not forget the year that Auschwitz proper closed was in the 1950s. It was run by a Jewish commissar. Thousands of Christian Poles were killed. And
we take a break, Matt. Matt, they're going to cut us off. We got to take a break, but I agree with you. We'll be right back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, shifting gears to something a little less encouraging than what we've seen in Slovenia and Hungary and the Czech Republic, which we've been covering for the bulk of this hour. We are going to give you an update on that story that Eddie brought back to the show's attention last week from Ole Miss. Now, we covered this show last year when the kid was originally arrested. You know the story. The kid at Ole Miss, 18-year-old freshman, gets drunk. He goes and he puts a piece of rope on the statue of James Meredith there in the Ole Miss campus and the former Georgia state flag, which contains the Confederate flag as part of the makeup of its design. And he gets arrested and is facing federal hate crimes charges for that. Well, here's the update on that. He has been sentenced, and he will report to prison on Monday, January 4th, to begin serving his term. Here is the story. A former University of Mississippi, that's what they call Ole Miss, student who admitted to helping place a noose on the statue of a civil rights activist is going to prison. U.S. District Judge Michael P. Mills sentenced Graham Philip Harris on Thursday to 6 months in prison beginning January 4th, followed by 12 months supervised release. This story is actually dated. That was not this most recent Thursday. This was a couple of months ago. But nevertheless, he does go to jail for 6 months beginning January 4th. Harris pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of using a threat of force to intimidate African-American students and employees, and prosecutors then agreed to drop a felony charge, which is what they were seeking. No one should have to endure threats or intimidation because of their race, said District Attorney Vanita Gupta in a written statement. Gupta leads the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. This went all the way up to the very top of the government, Eddie. This case got the interest of the very top of American government. How utterly ridiculous. For some on campus, the sentence brings closure for Susan Glisson, the executive director of the Institute for Racial Reconciliation. The ruling brings motivation. Listen to this, Eddie. We know that there is still a lot of work to be done. So this is just the beginning of what, you know, they have in mind. You do a prank they don't like, you're going in and you're going to go in to get pounded in federal penitentiary. In a telephone interview on Thursday, Logan Wilson, vice president of the Black Student Union at Ole Miss, said some members had doubts as to whether Graham Harris would be held accountable. We feel that the sentence was justifiable. His actions were that of hate. All right, so basically, once again, the kid gets drunk, he does a college prank, and he's going to federal prison for 6 months. He pleaded down to 6 months. They were seeking a felony charge, which would have carried a sentence for a year. So rather than roll the dice in court, he agreed to the deal, and he's going to jail. His life is ruined. He's kicked out of school. He'll never be able to work, most likely, not any job that counts. And so this is what we get. He did not commit a crime. He did a very stupid thing. Something that was regrettable, something I wish he hadn't did. But in a sensible society, I could have seen the administration at Ole Miss bringing him in and saying, look, you know, you do stuff like this, it's going to rile up the black students. You know that they can burn down cities with the full support of the federal government when they get mad. Let's not try to make them mad. We're going to suspend you for a couple of days so you can think about it. That would have been fair. He probably should have been punished to some extent because stuff like that can rile people up. He didn't commit a crime. It was a silly prank. But we know how blacks act, and what if they had started burning down Ole Miss like they burned down Ferguson and Baltimore? Which brings me to my next point, Eddie. So this kid's going to jail because the federal government prosecuted him. The very height of power, the federal government latched onto this case, prosecuted him. He's going to jail for 6 months. Life ruined. Yet, on a weekly basis here in Memphis, vandals desecrate the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest, which is a grave that is a felony. Not once has anybody been arrested, nor has police even sought to find out who's doing it, much less the federal government. That's a grave. That is a felony. This guy really didn't even vandalism anything. He draped a flag and a piece of rope on the thing, which were easily removed. We're not talking about spray paint or taking a sledgehammer, something that caused permanent damage.
And it's not a grave.
And it's not a grave, and it's not a federal thing. It's a college campus. It's public property. And so he's going to jail. And this, you know, talking about Ferguson and Baltimore, of all of those thugs that burned the city, that shot at police officers, that attacked police officers, that looted and rioted. None of them, to my knowledge, somebody can send me an email with a news story if you can prove me wrong, but I never saw any charges filed against any of those rioters. Yet this is a case where some misguided kid who did a stupid thing gets the attention of the national media and the federal government. He's going to jail. You can desecrate and vandalize the grave of an American hero like Nathan Bedford Forrest, and the police don't even look into it, much less the government. You can burn down cities, and it gets international attention, and not even go to jail for it. I guess some crimes are more criminal than others, right, Eddie?
That's right. And I would like to thank you, James, for the audience, because I called James about several days ago after the last show, extremely upset over what's happened to this kid. We've learned since then, thanks to James. I thank him for doing. He did all this research on his own to find out what the sentence was, which prison he's going to, how he plea bargained, all the details of the case. I thank you so much, James. I really do.
Well, just a quick word about that. My point is, you wanted to bring this up, and you had a very good idea
of getting
the political cesspool involved to try to help this kid.
Right.
And I said, well, Eddie, you know, I looked it up. He took a deal, number one, so he agreed to this deal, and he's going to serve 6 months, which is a lot of time for an 18-year-old. But by the time, even if we had a lawyer who could do anything, if he makes it out alive, that's right. If he makes it out alive without being raped to death or whatever else happens to little, you know, white kids in these prisons. But I said 6 months in terms of the wheels of justice. Even if we got a lawyer that went to bat on his behalf, number one, 6 months isn't even long enough to get a hearing. And number two, his family would denounce us and say they didn't want help from racists, undoubtedly.
And they already have almost done that. James said that the guy has cooked big time. But listen, the point we need to make here, we're running out of time. One point I would like to make. First of all, the federal government beast in Sodom on the Potomac, they have zero law enforcement powers in the states. I don't have my Constitution with me or my Bible. I've left them at home. I do have my 45, though. Listen, this United States government, they have law enforcement powers in two places only, enforcing piracies on the high seas and enforcing laws against counterfeiting. That's it. There's no such thing as a federal hate crime law. They just brought that out of thin air. They created this hate crime law out of thin air, just like the Jewish-owned Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air. Listen, that's one point there. The second point is we have to realize just how deadly and dangerous this precedent is that has been set. A precedent has been set. James and I talked about this extensively. We have sweated blood over this case.
He offended a statue. He went to jail for offending a statue.
That's right. It set a precedent. The Zog government, the Zionist occupational government that we are living under, and make no mistake, we are living under an occupied district, occupied government. They have set the precedent. They can come and arrest anyone they want for a non-crime in a jurisdiction that they have no rights whatsoever. That is any time there's no such thing as a federal hate crime. The Constitution says they're not allowed to do that. I just named the two parts where the federal government can have any type of influence enforcing crime. Piracy's on the high seas, that makes sense. Tennessee doesn't have a navy, did it? It's Mississippi, which we did, and enforcing counterfeit laws. That's it. What we need to do, people, we have to try to roll this back, because if we don't, and this is what you need to take away from this story, it's a tragedy what happened to this kid. It certainly is. But the biggest tragedy is there's millions of kids out there. There's my grandson. There's James's kids that are coming up. There's your kids. There's us. They could come take me and James for things that we did things probably that bad back at Nathan Bedford's Forest.
Well, you're saying, I mean, look. We held a Confederate flag on a public park.
They could say it's a hate crime.
Well, they could have said that, but that is a little bit different than this, but obviously. But, I mean, it's certainly, with you know, if they can get him for this, they could probably get anybody for anything. I mean, we didn't offend a statue at Nathan Bedford Forrest Park like this kid. But look, and I, you know, it's trivial. I wish he hadn't have done it. I mean, it wasn't something that I would advise anybody to do, especially in today's climate. But of course, if it was a statue of Jesus Christ, you could go and urinate on it or do sure. whatever, and it would be, you know, freedom of speech.
Well,
but,
guess what, James? I told you about this. You remember during the break when I came in. On the way home from the Peabody Hotel, the South's only luxurious hotel, they say, we passed by Nathan Bedford Forest Park. We saw a black woman with a ladder, for God's sakes, in broad daylight with a ladder.
And I told Eddie, I said, if we went up to that woman and said we would appreciate if you don't vandalize the statue today, we probably would have gotten charged with hate crime for being
every
racist
time.
And asking her not to desecrate the grave today. We just had broad daylight. She's up on a ladder doing God knows what to the statue.
We've been arrested.
No good.
After she got through shooting us.
Right.
Because, you know, they are
but
all.
But this is where we're going. And there was no crime committed here. He should have been sanctioned by the school, maybe a suspension or a slap. But look, you know, it's not nearly as criminal as what's gone on at Nathan Bedford Forest.
It's a non-crime.
Time and time again, not nearly as criminal as what took place in Ferguson and in Baltimore. None of those people went to jail as far as I know, but this kid did. He'll be out in 6 months if he can survive it.
It was a totally fraud, made-up crime out of thin air, just like our de facto money stand.
Got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a shocking story. Stay tuned.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.